high fly ball. Left center, Taylor on the run, on the track, at the wall, he's done it again! See ya! A walk-off home run by Aaron Judge, and the Yankees win 1-0.
Nothing makes me feel better than watching and listening to the Yankees beat the Royals when they shouldn't have any business beating the Royals. It's just, all my memories of Yankee Stadium when the Royals play there is the Royals blowing some kind of big lead, dominating the game for 8 innings, and the Yankees coming back to win on a walk-off. And hello, walk-off, game one of the series last night. Welcome to Sports Ticket, Wade, Dusty, and Jason with you. This will be the last day that Jason and I will be with you on the show, as Jason and I bought our lottery tickets yesterday, and we have big plans. And we've already agreed that everything that Jason wins will go to me, and everything that I win will go to myself.
We did not shake on that.
Darn it.
There's no written agreement for that. Willing to make a deal. Like, if you win, there's a certain comeback to me.
Let's make a deal. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. And this is something that I considered doing for a friend of mine, but now I have to figure out what I'm going to work out with you, because you and I bought our tickets at the same time yesterday.
Yeah.
So here's the deal I propose. If I win, I will give you 10%.
Okay.
You win, you give me 10%.
Okay.
Sound like a deal?
Sounds like a deal.
We're shaking on it. Dougie's a witness. There we go. We got to record it on the radio. We got to shake. So if I win, I give Jason 10%. And if Jason be like, that is the best time I ever had with Wade when we went out to see clients, because that got me 10% of a billion.
That is, yeah.
10% of a billion is 100 million.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad deal.
I know.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you.
Good
I hope
luck
you
to
win.
You. Yeah.
I hope I win. I hope you win. Actually, I hope you win, and I'd rather you win, and I'll take the 10, and then everybody will be coming
too.
After you.
I'd rather
Who's the
I
big
win
winner?
Too.
Jason Broadfoot. His address is. And nobody will even know that I got 10% except for the people listening to the show right now. Yeah, Max said after we talked about the lottery tickets on Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever it was, and talking about big plans, he sent me a text, remember me on Friday, and I had forgotten what all we said, and I was trying to figure out, what's he mean by remember me on Friday? Was he have an anniversary, a birthday? What's going on? Also, I'm like, oh, yeah, the lottery ticket thing. So we've already got big plans, Dusty. Have you got your ticket yet?
I've not.
You have not?
No.
I feel pretty good about mine. Lots of high numbers.
They tell you if you think it'll come true. You know, if you think you're going to get that job, you're going to get that job.
Uh-huh.
If you think you're going to lose weight, you're going to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to win.
Okay.
That's how it works, right?
Well, but if any other of the 330-some million people or tickets that have been sold think the same thing, now we have a problem here.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep dreaming. I'm sure it's bound to happen, you know. We're due.
I'm right.
We buy so many lottery tickets. So the Royals last night, they lose. But more on that in a moment. Local sports, Dusty.
Yes, area athletes continuing on this week in the USA Track and Field National Junior Olympics in Sacramento. Maya Schweitzer and Raya Berticelli of Osborne are the two that are remaining. And yesterday in the 16-year-old girls' 1,500-meter run, Maya finished in 19th and Raya finished in 20th. So top 20 finishes for both Maya Schweitzer and Raya Berticelli there in the 1,500-meter run. They'll take today off, and then tomorrow they'll run in the 3,000-meter run. Maya Schweitzer and Raya Berticelli, both of Osborne, competing in that. So congratulations to everybody that's competed this week, and best of luck to them tomorrow as they finish things off in Sacramento coming up tomorrow. American Legion State Baseball at Topeka in AA pool play. The Concordia Blues losing to Hiawatha yesterday 12-4. Concordia is now 0-2 in pool play after losing to Iola on Thursday. On Wednesday, I should say. The final game of pool play is this morning, just underway there at 9 o'clock, Concordia against Larned in Topeka. Again, for all the updated sports information here in North Central Kansas, visit ncksports.com.
Big thanks to Terry. He was nice enough to call and wish my wife and I a happy anniversary. Appreciate that, Terry. Thanks if you're listening. Speaking of my anniversary, I have a lot riding on this lottery ticket that I bought yesterday. They asked, do you want just one? I'm like, all I need is one to win. Why would I waste money buying three or four? Now, Jason bought a couple. But, you know, why am I going to buy 10 or 20? I mean, I increased my odds by what? I just need one to win. That's what I told him. So I spent my $2, and I got my ticket, and I'm all excited, and, you know, can't wait to laminate it when I win. But there's a lot riding on this for me, because this is the anniversary present that I promised my wife, is to buy her resort with the big swim-up bar and the nice, clean beach, and it'll be just our resort. And then I'll finally get to feel what it's like to be Don Highland. I've always wanted to... To be like, there's a Be Like Mike campaign. It's Be Like Don. And I'm excited about that opportunity, possibly. Let's see here on the Twitter. If you win the lottery, are you still showing up to school this year? This is sent out to teachers. Chris Adams, yes, I would, because nobody would know that I won. Oh, Chris.
Come on.
Come on, Chris. Just saw your wife yesterday. All right, I think.
I'd show up for one day and just fur coat.
Fur coat?
Yeah, just.
Well, we're killing animals.
I'll be like that guy on Half-Baked.
Gold
right?
shades, whatever.
Say what?
Just
show up. Half-Baked when he quits the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're cool. I'm out. I can't say the other
right,
words.
Right.
I would do a mic drop. I'd just be like, boom, come in, do your thing. Like, wouldn't it be hilarious? That's a good little side note here. What would you do at your job? Of course, we all work together, so there wouldn't be like a big crowd. But can you imagine if you're a teacher and you're just fed up with things? Like, I got to buy my own school supplies half the time, and I got to do this. I got to deal with these little brats that are always right. doing this, and parents that don't take care of their kids, and so they expect me to babysit them, and they don't teach their kids respect and this and that. And I got these kids, and they never shut up. Wouldn't it be just fun to come in knowing that you don't need your job anymore? Just come in, go into the class and go, Johnny, you're a pain in my butt.
Yep.
Alice, you'll never shut up. And just like label everything you're upset with every kid. Just lay it out there. I don't care what age. And then you you drop the ruler, whatever you want to do, the mic, you know, the drop the mic. And then you go into the principal's office and say, you know, whatever you want to say to the principal. And then you run over to the superintendent district's office and you're like, boom, I'm out of here. And then you get home and you look at the ticket again. You're like, oh, crud, I misread that. Yeah, I only got five of the six numbers. Whoops. That would be great stuff. Couple things here. We will be out and about Jason Osborne County Fair for an hour tonight, and that's from 6 to 7, live remote. Also, Dusty with the fair tomorrow from 4 to 6 over at the Osborne County Fair. Dusty was there last night. Coolest temperatures you ever experienced at Osborne County
Fair. Maybe at any fair, to be completely honest with you, but definitely at Osborne, I know that.
Not bad. And I will be at, it's a tough gig, but I get to, if I want to, sample drinks and food at Wholesale Liquor's last Friday first drink event, and they are 10% all sales at Wholesale Liquor all day long. We'll be there from 4 to 6. Their samplings will take place from 4 to 6. There's all kinds of different things to sample drink-wise and then food-wise. Big T's trailer, a food trailer, will be there too if you want to eat dinner as well. But that'll be from 4 to 6 at Wholesale Liquor, and I'll be there broadcasting live, although you guys are welcome to come over, although you know, Jason's a little busy with the Osborne County Fair. But welcome to come over and sample stuff as well. I live nearby, so if I, you know, I'm not going to do a Harry Carey, though. I'm not going to do that.
Oh,
well, it would be fun. It'd be entertaining. I have a road trip, though, scheduled for this weekend, though. So anyway, Wholesale Liquor, the remote from 4 to 6 today. Come on out and support the local schools. 10% all sales go to back-to-school supplies for our area schools. So that should be fun. Also, coming up on Monday, if you are a regular that goes to ncksports.com, you may do a double take on Monday. So that's a little bit of a tease. I think you're going to like what you will see coming up on Monday, ncksports.com. And eventually we'll have all the schedules posted, at least for the fall sports, as we get closer. You know, football starts to what, first weekend in September or the first Friday, September. Volleyball will be started, cross country and other sports in August. So school starts for some. Somebody I talked to, I don't know about locally, but somebody I talked to says they start August 11th. We start Beloit at August 18th, I believe it is. First day back
August
for work
11th.
Is the 15th.
That's way too early.
I agree.
11th.
I think
Holy
the 18th
smokes.
Is too early, too. But the 11th is way too
Sorry,
early.
Sorry, kids.
Yeah, no wow. kidding. Hey, how could we ruin your summer? I know. Let's shorten it. That's one of those other things you teach. You're like, I won the lottery. Yeah. And you know what? The heck with this. August I ain't reporting. 11. I don't worry about August 11th, you know, sweating my butt off and having to take three changes of clothes to work because the AC's broken again.
I'm out.
See you later. So there's a lot of things going on. Remotes.
You say your son was kind of complaining he had to work on his birthday or something like that.
Not really complaining.
Or just saying that he shouldn't have to, maybe, or something like that.
Kind of implied it, yeah.
Just tell him, like, you're bringing up the first day of school, right? Just tell him it's better to work than have first day of school be on your birthday, right?
I think he agrees with that.
I had that, like, three or four times probably growing up.
I think he would probably agree with that, to be honest. He's not a big he does really well in school, but he even talks about sometimes how he doesn't fully apply, like he could do even better. I'm like, well, then do better. And it's like, well, I get it. I do a really, he's got a really good GPA. I'm like, Must be, you know, that's the type of kid that really upsets kids that work so hard at trying to get good grades, and they struggle to get like a C average. Mm-hmm. And then there's this kid's like, well, it's not that hard. I got 3.8, a 3.6, 3.2, whatever. I'm not worried about it. The 4.0 is out with my, you know, B minus in geometry. That's, for me, it was a C minus in geometry. That ended my 4.0 career. I'm like, well, you know, it is what you want to do. I mean, I can't force you to do it if you're getting good grades. One thing that's really, we've been very lucky as parents, and is that we rarely have to do any homework with our kids so far. Now, we might have to, but I mean, there's sometimes when you're younger, but I mean, we've been very lucky that, and I'll tell you why that we don't really help them with their homework, because we're too stupid to do it ourselves. At least me, not my wife. I don't speak for my wife, but you know, if my oldest son comes up to me and has a geometry question, I'm going to run for the hills. Mm. I'm going to go buy another lottery ticket. I'm just going to run, or I'm going to go get a beer. I'm done. I'm out. I can't help you. Algebra? No, but if you want to do simple division and subtraction and multiplication, which you probably already know how to do, I could help you with that. You want to help with English? I could help you with that a little bit. But some of the techniques that they use nowadays, back compared to when we were in school, don't even apply anymore. And then the long way of getting to the answer in math, like I've seen, I'm like, why? Just, that's a waste of time. Just get to the answer. It's more efficient that way. And then it's like, my wife goes, well, they're supposed to do it this way. I'm like, well, it's stupid. And she's like, but you're not the teacher. Don't do that. And I'm like, I get it. I don't understand. Well, that helps them understand how to get to the answer. You know what's really exciting? When you get to the answer quicker so you can move on to problem number two on the worksheet. But that's just me. I'm one that likes to be efficient and effective. And I don't know if it works or not, going through the long way to getting to answer on certain math problems and questions. But things are different than they used to be, and so it's just best if I sit it out, which is great, allows me more time to do other stuff. And then my kid is struggling in his room trying to figure out his homework, and you know who asked to get help? His classmates, which is fine. Talk to the smartest classmate that you have. Let them help you a little bit, or talk to your teacher. It's okay to do that, but don't ask the old good old pops here, okay? No. I'm out. I'm on the deck. I'm chilling. Long day at work, and I'm not smart enough to do your homework anyway. So I'm just a hindrance. I'm a hindrance to him getting it done. And he knows, so he doesn't even ask me.
Yeah.
So it works. It's a win-win.
My sister Trisha's youngest, Tristan, is like the smartest like little kid I've ever been around in my life, like that I've actually known. Mm-hmm. And been around. The one year at Thanksgiving, he was showing me all these number bonds and stuff like that and Common Core math. And I'm like, how? Like, yeah. How did you get to that? And he's just doing it like it's nothing, right? Like, yeah. He gets through it probably quicker than most kids do, you know? And right. It's like, I don't know what you did, but that's the right answer. I can write it out how I did it, and it's the same as I got. I don't know what you did, but it's the right answer.
You're like, I had that answer 2 minutes ago, but yeah. Congratulations, you know. But that just shows to show you there's different ways to come to the correct answer. I will say
on the other side of that, though, it probably does help your, at that age, the your cognitive development of actually focusing on something and could working be. It out and doing other things with it. Maybe right. That's the point that I don't get as an adult because I learned the quick way when I was a kid.
Yeah, math teachers listening to us right now are cringing and turning the channel and going, you guys are horrible people for messing up with math. I'm like, no, I'm just saying for me, I've always was taught, I was growing up in school and also by my family, and they learned it in college, is you need to be efficient, organized, and effective. And if you're efficient, if you're organized, you're more efficient. That's helped me tons in my everyday work. I mean, we get so many things done here at the station with a staff of two or three over the years than we've been able to do. Well, we've done more than people that have double the staff, if not triple the staff, with some of the stuff we've done. And you know why that is? Because we're super organized. We're very organized, and that makes us effective and efficient. And there are other people that have people that aren't organized, can't find things, and then they're trying to solve, you know, put out fires because they weren't organized. And that has helped me over the years with school being organized and more efficient. So it drives me nuts when somebody takes half an hour to do something I know takes 5 minutes. That's not being efficient. It doesn't work. That doesn't help you in the real world. Does it help you cognitively to have a longer way to get to the solution to the problem so it helps make your mind work so where you can solve different things? I get that part. But in the real world, I will say, if I can have a quicker way to get to the solution, why would I waste time taking the long way? Yeah. It's kind of like if I'm going to drive from here to Beloit, am I going to drive south and take the Tipton Blacktop and then work my way all the way around the Lincoln and then back up to Beloit? I mean, I still get to my destination. Or I could just go straight from Glen Elder to Beloit now without road construction and get there within 10 to 12 minutes. which is the more efficient, effective way of doing it? Obviously, it's the latter. So, anyway, for all those math people out there, we're not saying that you're bad teachers at all. We're just saying we think there's easier ways of doing some of it. And I've actually talked to people that teach math, and they agree with me on that, actually. Yeah. That they're like, hey, this is what the curriculum. Don't hate us. It's kind of like, you want to hate on the referee? He's just enforcing the rules. Don't hate on the teacher because they're doing it the way they're supposed to teach it. All right? Yeah. Now, if I was a teacher, I wouldn't last very long because I'd be like, you know what? They tell you you're supposed to do it this way. To hell with that. We're going to go here, and then we're going to have 20 minutes at the end for us to go outside and play. All right? I don't know how that sounds when you're a high school teacher, but all right, we're going to go out and play, everyone. Really? Can we? Yay! I'm 17. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a stand-up comedian that I watch. His name's Nate Bargatze. I don't know if people have watched him before or not, but he's got on the new math thing. It's a similar thing. Like, you're doing it like a comparison, right? He's like, it's like somebody comes and knocks on my door, right? My front door. And it works fine. I open the door, and they can come in there. But I'm like, no, we're going to do it the new way. You're going to go around the side of my house, jump the fence, go to the back door, and meet me right back here.
That's about right.
And it's like, yeah, dude. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, teachers, God bless you, and thank you so much for dealing with kids like mine and everybody else's. Teachers, listen, I said it yesterday. There's a lot of vacancies with teachers in different parts of the country because of various things, and then, you know, people have this grand idea. I don't want to get too political, but let's just arm our teachers. That's the last thing teachers want to do, is have to take gun training, safety classes, and then have to make a decision to pull a gun out of a holster. They have way too much on their plate already as teachers. They're trying to make your kid, well, in some cases, try to help your kid get smart. In some cases, you got smart kids, and they're trying to help you educate and get them to ready for the real world. And that starts all the way at pre-K and kindergarten, work your all the way up through your senior in high school. So God bless the teachers out there and everything that they do, and they're getting ready to go back to work here very soon. But if you're a teacher and you end up beating Jason and me in the lottery, you have our permission to stick it to whoever you want. Even if you want to, you know, have a little fun with the class and the kids, whether they're 4 or 14, that's your prerogative. You know, don't get us in trouble, but it's just an idea if you just want to basically go in, drop the ruler on everybody because you won the lottery. I'm out. You know, I'm not buying no school supplies, and I'm out, man. I'm done with that. So Wholesale Liquor help with the school supplies. 10% of the sales today goes towards that.
I just it's hard for me to believe that when somebody says they'll keep working,
that you they think win that people win $1 billion that they'll keep working.
Well, people
have
say
people
that
told
sometime.
You that?
Well, yeah, sometimes
really?
People put yeah. Sometimes people put that, like the first time I asked this before there was a number behind it.
Yeah,
I asked, and a lot of them said they would keep working.
Listen, I totally get it.
I see why they say it now, yeah. But like that first time that alarm clock goes off when you have
first
when you're
all,
sleeping
you're
on a pillowcase full of $100 bills. that first
the
time that alarm clock
pillowcase.
Yeah, the first time that alarm clock goes off.
Listen,
I'm not doing it.
I'm looking forward to working my butt off once I win the lottery. I am. I can't wait to work my butt off having fun. I'm going to be working so hard and having fun. It is going to be the best work I've ever had in my entire life. Well, they say, oh, the people love their jobs. They really don't think of it as work. You know, I enjoy my work. I don't really think of it as work. Well, I'm going to work at having fun, man. I'm going to work at having as much fun as I possibly can, you know? Once I give Jason his 10% of my cut, then it is going to be fun. I'll find all kinds of fun ways to work. I'll come heckle you at your work.
Yeah.
I'll be like, ha, na, 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 boo, boo, you didn't buy a lottery ticket. Ha, ha, ha. See this, Benjamin? I'll give it to the first person that goes in and makes fun of the teacher. No, don't do that. They have enough stuff on their plate. That's true. Let's make fun of the principal. Oh, okay. Or assistant principal. Just threw that out
so
there. I know one.
See, so, you're getting into this. You're going to start buying lottery tickets on every jackpot now.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help the youth of America when I win this lottery. And I'm going to, now that might sound a little bit weird, so I'm going to have to figure out how to say this without sounding like really bad. But I think I'm going to give like a kid every day a Benjamin and just tell them say something to an administrator, and I'll pay them to do it. Now, if they get in trouble for whatever that is I tell them to do, that's their choice, okay? Right. I'm not forcing them to do anything. I'm just bribing them so that I can have some fun. That's it. I think there's bigger things to do with fun, but once I get bored, that might be what I do. Mm-hmm. I've got so much money. When I win $1 billion, I got to blow it in some way. So I'm just going to hand out $100 bills to the youth of America. But there is a catch. You've got to pull a prank on your teacher, administrator, or maybe I'll just go to various work establishments that I don't have to worry about working anymore and mess with people. I might do that too. And then I'm going to video it. And then I'm going to have, oh, wait a minute, they only have those shows.
Yeah.
And they already have the pranks and Practical Jokers. Ah, I can't do that, but whatever. By the way, the Practical Joker guys, man, those guys, what a great idea. What an amazing idea. Those guys, all friends, making fun of each other, pulling pranks on each other, and now they're known by everybody to where they can't even pull pranks on people without people knowing who they are now. That's how popular those guys are. Goodness gracious. I saw an episode last night. I was like, I hadn't even seen it. They're getting meaner and meaner. Like, poor Murr, they put a catheter and made him into his you-know-what, and then he had to zip line with it.
What?
And then, yes, and then when he was done, he thought he was done, and guess who took the catheter out?
Oh, no.
His fiance, because she's a nurse. They set it up. Like, what? And then he thought he was done. Murr thought he was all done, and then they said, okay, so you did a great job, Murr, and I couldn't believe they made him do this. And then they go, time for your annual prostate exam, and there was a doctor right there. Like, oh my gosh, I can't even let the kids watch this show anymore. I used to be able to. Now they're going. They got to push the envelope even further, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They better not win the lottery. They have enough money. Okay, so let's talk Royals baseball. I guess we have to. Last night, the Royals give up just two hits all night long, but yet they lose 1-0, as you heard Aaron Judge with a walk-off home run. Brady Singer was magnificent. Seven innings, gave up one hit, one walk, 10 strikeouts, ended up with a no decision, left the game with scoreless tie. Dylan Coleman, as long as he didn't have to underhand the ball to first, did well last night, threw a scoreless eighth, but in the ninth, with one out, you heard Scott Barlow left a fastball hanging over the plate on an 0-2 pitch. Horrible placement on an 0-2. Aaron Judge hit it 431 feet to center for a walk-off win. It was Judge's 39th homer of the season. His third walk-off homer this year to tie him with Mickey Mantle from 1959 for the most walk-offs in Yankee franchise history. The Royals have been shut out now, or were shut out last night by three different Yankee pitchers, and it suffered their third straight shutout and runs their scoreless streak to 27 straight innings without a run. Without a run. Think about Brady Singer last two starts. Six innings, 12 strikeouts. Last night, seven innings, 10 strikeouts against one of the best lineups in baseball. And when you see Scott Barlow, when he threw the pitch and Judge swung?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was like, that's a game
over.
Over.
He knew it.
He knew it. He put that pitch like 2 feet off of where he was trying to put
it.
A friend Tim sent the pitch chart, you know.
Another reason to trade the guy.
He sent the thing where it says where the pitch goes and how fast it goes and who's hitting and who's pitching. He goes, anyone want to guess how far this one went? And it was just, you know, because it had Aaron Judge up hitting and the fastball right down the middle.
95 fastball right down the middle. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
No movement. That hasn't landed yet.
Right.
That would have been out of every park. Not every park. Name one. Yellowstone. Major League. That was in a trailer for Major League. It actually wasn't in the movie.
Right.
Yeah. I remember that because I remember going, oh, I can't wait to see this in the movie. And it wasn't even in the movie. But it was in the trailer. That was a good line. So, Mike Matheny on Brady Singer's fantastic performance that went for naught and missed opportunities.
Brady responded as good as you could ever ask any pitcher against an offense like this. And just the best we've seen him. I mean, you look at how few times he was even close to the middle of the plate, how he was living on the edges, the kind of movement he had. You could see the reaction from their hitters just on a sinker and then opened up the slider. It was impressive. You know, I had a couple chances early, and one in particular with the one out triple. You know, those are ones that we got to figure out a way to get the run in. But we had been in scoring position the first three innings and again in the eighth, and just couldn't get the big hit. I mean, their guy was throwing the ball well, too, and obviously they got a good pen. But, you know, we had our chances that we let get away, and that's a shame to lose a start like Brady had because that was special.
Yeah, it was wasted. Former Royal Andrew Benintendi was in the leadoff spot for the Yankees. So the first guy came up for the Yankees, Brady Singer faced, was his former teammate from the night before, Andrew Benintendi, and he struck him out. Benintendi went 0-for-4 in his first game in pinstripes, so clearly he can't handle the pressure. Yankees are now 67-33 after Thursday night's win. The Royals dropped to 39-60. Game 2 of the 4-game set is tonight. Royals starting pitcher Chris Bubich, who's been really good the last couple times out. And, you know, Singer's been really great the last few times out. I mean, if these two could be more consistent, I mean, now you suddenly feel better about the future of the rotation. Of course, a month from now, we'll be talking about how they have lost it. Possibly. I don't know. Garrett Cole on the hill for the Yankees, so it means Yankees should win tonight, but you never know. He's 9-3. First pitch, 6:05 at Yankee Stadium. Andrew Benintendi had a press conference before the game last night, and here's Andrew Benintendi on being traded. He was with the Royals, and the team, they flew to New York as a Royal. He did. They got there, and then Mike Matheny told him, I think it was about 11 o'clock, hey, man, you've been traded to the Yankees. He hung out with his teammates. He was in the Royals Hotel when they got there to New York. Here's Benintendi on the odd situation.
I mean, my time in KC was great. I made a lot of really good friends, you know, friendships that'll last, you know, longer than my career. You know, obviously, what, a year and a half there, it's, you know, got to know the city pretty well and had some good times. Definitely, it's a weird situation. You know, obviously lacing it up with them yesterday and now going against them today. But, yeah, the flight was, I mean, we all knew something was probably going to happen. So when I found out last night, I got to hang out in the room with a couple guys and, you know, say see you tomorrow kind of deal. But it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to these next four games. Figured yesterday was potentially, obviously, the last game in Kansas City because we're on the road till after the deadline. But tried to treat it as if it was, you know, our last flight together or something like that. But, you know, it's obviously going to stay in contact with those guys still, as I do with my Red Sox teammates from the past. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little weird situation, obviously, because we're playing against them tonight. But it is what it is.
I know what he's going through. In 1999, I was on a co-ed softball team, and I was so bad offensively that I was given to the other team for the next day's game, and did not stay in the lavish hotel room that Benintendi, I'm sure they did, but it was tough for me to recover. But I went 4-for-4 with 4 grand slams the next night against him, so it all worked out. If you believe that, you really are super gullible. No, that never happened because I was the greatest athlete of all time in co-ed softball. Jason, don't give me that look, or you're not going to get 10% of when I win the lottery. Don't even go there. You know, don't make fun of me. I can see you already thinking.
I wouldn't make fun of you. No, of course not. We had the world's worst softball team.
Yeah. Well, I could have helped you. I was the greatest player of all time.
Somehow we just picked.
In my mind, I was the greatest player. Co-ed softball was fun. We enjoyed that in college. We liked that. It was fun. We didn't really. I mean, we were competitive. Tried to win, but I was always good at fielding. But I wasn't as good as hitting. Although with softball, it's not as hard to hit. So I like that softball stuff.
Right.
Bigger ball to hit. Awesome. Baseball back in the day, I could field. I could run. I needed to get walked so I could get on the base and steal because I loved to steal. I loved stealing bases. Problem was, I didn't usually put the ball in play, or if I did, it wasn't really hit that hard. I was never going to get a double, triple, or a home run. I needed guys to misjudge the ball if I ever hit it to the outfield, like Trey Mancini. Did you see the Baltimore Oriole guy that had the inside the park home run? And the guy for the Blue Jays against the Red Sox was 28-5. Center fielder Red Sox totally lost it in lights and then just stood there and didn't try to run for it. Mm-hmm. That is the only way I would have had a home run in baseball.
Yeah. Ours was bad. We had like 7 decent players. We could have made a good team, but then everything was from work or friends from work or husbands of or boyfriends of people from work, and we're just too nice to say no to some people. We knew better.
You added the cast offs and nobody else.
Right, we knew better, and we're just like,
well, that's poor management.
Yeah, that's on me.
Well, you're the manager.
I was the guy.
Oh,
and we're just like, we can't say no because
give him the Jason. He takes everybody.
Right, and so, you know, we went a year without winning a game.
Wow. So your career winning percentage as a manager is not good.
No. I can't believe I didn't get fired earlier than that. But we made one team really mad because I think the year after we went winless, we won a game in the middle.
The year after we went winless.
Yeah, we started taking pictures of the scoreboard. Uh-huh. And the other team got really mad because they felt it was rubbing it in. But, you know. We won sportsmanship awards because people liked playing us, and we had fun. We did have fun. We didn't take it as serious as the people that ruined softball umpiring for other people. So we didn't take it as serious. So we won sportsmanship awards and got like $50 off our next year's registration.
Well, there you go.
Which was
they really
just enough
you
to
on
know.
The schedule because a given win for everybody. Everybody was cheering for you guys. You know why you won the sportsmanship award? I hate to break this to you, but I'm going to fill you in.
Because people like playing.
Because people
us.
Love playing against you guys, and you always beat you. Right. Like, we got to keep this team in the league so you get the sportsmanship award because it's really important. You get a $50 gift card. Well, rock on. Awesome. Hey, Jason, your team going to play again next year?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I like it. Okay, so the Royals, they need co-ed softball right now to get runs. They haven't scored a run in three games. And this just in, it's hard to win baseball games if you don't score runs. I know, that's just exhilarating analysis there. But the thing that really stinks, of course, is when the Royals have some of the most dominating pitching performances, doesn't it always seem like it's a no decision for a pitcher?
Oh, yeah.
Ask Zach Greinke about that.
Knows all about
his
it.
Entire Royals career.
That's probably why he wanted out.
Both times.
First time. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's not good. 27 straight innings without scoring is not optimal.
Not optimal at all. So, Andrew Benintendi, how odd that had to be for him to be in the other clubhouse.
And for everybody just to be a part of that, too. Like, you going into warm-ups, like they're showing, you know, Royals guys going over and talking to him, shaking his hand. Like, we were just with you last night. Like, this is...
we were drinking buddies playing poker last night on the plane.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff. He was a Red Sox. Now he's a Yankee. All right, time for a Cubs update with Jason Broadfoot.
You mentioned Harry Carey earlier. I'm sure a place that he frequented... The Brick House, Budweiser Brick House, it's near Wrigley Field there.
He was their best patron.
Yep, and Cubs' winning streak is over. They lost to the San Francisco Giants last night, 4-2.
Oh, man, I thought they were going to win the rest of their games this year. I was feeling pretty good about it.
You know, I thought they'd trade their best players and keep winning.
Trade Hap?
Not yet, yet. It'll happen, though.
It will happen. When was deadline's Tuesday, right?
Yep. Or... fairly certain it's going to happen. Happen Contreras and a reliever or two, but 4-2 loss to the Giants. 40-58 now.
Do you know which team has the longest winning streak in baseball now that the Cubs and Blue Jays both have lost recently?
Is it Baltimore?
Nope.
Or did they? No, they lost. Yeah,
no. Nope.
It's not high enough for me to have seen it yet.
That's
I can
right.
promise
it's
you.
It's only
that.
Three. It's only three right now. The Oakland A's in last place in the AL West have a three-game winning streak. The Mets, who swept the two-game series against the Yankees, they have a three-game winning streak. And the Arizona Diamondbacks have a three-game winning streak. And they're second to last in their division. The team with the longest losing streak right now is the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've lost four in a row. The Royals have lost three in a row. So Royals only have the second worst losing streak right now. So there's not really any big streaks that are out there right now after the Blue Jays and the Cubs lost. Time for our Chiefs training camp update. Three players, cornerback Rashad Fenton, offensive tackle Lucas Niang, and offensive tackle Prince Tigwanago, I don't know how to pronounce it, remained on the physically unable to perform list. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire came off of that after being on it for like 8 hours. Yesterday, some highlights of camp. Juju Smith-Schuster made the play of the day once again. He and Mahomes seems to have a really good connection. Marquise Valdez-Scantling hauled in an impressive catch during 7-on-7 drills, and former K-Stater Elijah Lee forced a fumble with a punch-out during 7-on-7 drills. The big story yesterday, of course, is a story that we had touched upon yesterday on the Sports Ticket, that the Chiefs already, after one day of full practice, had decided, wow, we need help with pass rush. So they did something about it. Defensive end Carlos Dunlap and the Chiefs reached an agreement on a one-year contract that could be worth up to $8 million. When we say up to, that means a lot of incentives in it. Dunlap has 96 sacks in 12 NFL seasons. 10.5 of those seasons were with the Bengals. The 33-year-old Dunlap, who is 6'6", 285, appeared in all 17 games. At the age of 32, he was in all 17 games last year for the Seahawks. He led the team with 8.5 sacks, but he was really effective down the stretch, so he didn't really do much the first half of the season. Second half of the season, 7 sacks over the last 6 games. And here's something else to point out. He's 6'6". And he had 6 batted passes, which ranked 3rd among all defensive ends last year. But here's the thing that really stands out to me. Those are pretty decent numbers. You know, definitely decent numbers. But he did it with only 309 pass rushing snaps. Like, he had 35 pressures and only 309 pass rushing snaps. Only two defensive ends in all of football recorded more pressures with fewer pass rush snaps than Dunlap, among all defensive ends in football. So you just got to make sure you don't overuse him, I guess. He recorded three pressures in seven different games last year. So, hey, I think it's a great – I mean, first of all, it's a one-year deal. I know a lot of these guys are one-year deals, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and others. And it will be interesting. I've heard somebody say, what are we going to do after this year? Can we just get to the first game of this year and not worry about next year for now?
Yeah.
Let's focus on this year's team. But to me, it's not a high risk. It's the Chiefs had the money. They had the cap space. They address a major need. It also allows a little more time for some of your younger draft picks that you think might be pass rushers to slide in and not be put in a tough situation. Of course, if Frank Clark or Dunlap gets hurt, then clearly that'll happen. So I think it's a make sense move. Of all the teams that were going after Carlos Dunlap, the Chiefs needed him, I think, the most. He wants to win a championship. He hasn't won one. So he has some motivation there. I think it's a win-win all the way around. And if he does, I think he could do more than what Melvin Ingram did last year, to be honest with you. And if he can, that's great, because the Chiefs' defense was much better when Ingram joined the team last year. I don't know how good he is against the run. I haven't really seen any stats against the run. Melvin Ingram was good against the run, and he was able to get a little bit of pressure on the quarterback, not like he used to when he was younger. And Ingram was 32 a year ago, Dunlap 33. So we said it yesterday. You got to make sure if you want him, you got to get him signed. Don't let him leave town. The Chiefs apparently identified the need, which we all knew they had, and they said, we're not letting this guy out of town, and they give him a 1 year up to $8 million deal. I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, if you've listened to the show, I think everybody would agree with that, right? They need help with the pass rush, and that's what they got. And again, like you said, you don't want to overuse him, and so we're probably not going to really find out a lot about how good he is against the run, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because he's clearly a guy that they're going to use on passing situations that they want to rush the passer. That's what he's there for, and that's what he's going to get paid for. But obviously, you still do have to take all into account that you're even on passing downs going to be going against the run sometimes, and they're going to try to catch you off guard and things of that nature. So, but yeah, it's a move that clearly needed to be made to get somebody to be a pass rusher for this team, and to get a veteran like that that's, you know, had all the experience that he's had is obviously, I think, not only good on the field, but hopefully he can be good off the field for guys like Carl Aftis and these other guys that are that are coming in that are younger that can maybe learn something from him as well. So I don't see any negatives at all of getting a guy like that to bring to the squad.
There wasn't a better free agent defensive end out there either. So they got the best of the remaining lot. The Chiefs have been patient to where they didn't overpay for some of these guys. And now they got a guy that's a veteran that can bat down passes. So if he doesn't get pressure, he can still step back and knock the ball down. Chris Jones has been able to do that. Had a couple of big pass breakups in the win over the Niners in the Super Bowl. His former teammate, the Seahawks wide receiver, Pro Bowl wide receiver DK Metcalf, who the Chiefs could have drafted, but instead took Mecole Hardman. DK Metcalf, 3-year extension. The new deal is worth up to $72 million, $58 million in guarantees. His $30 million signing bonus is the highest ever for a wide receiver. So now Tyreek Hill is upset and wants more in Miami. In three seasons with the Seahawks, Metcalf has over 3,100 yards, 29 touchdowns. The new contract runs through 2025 for Metcalf. The question now is who's going to throw him the ball. And I saw a spoof here from the Longest Yard remake where, Adam Sandler is DK Metcalf, and the prisoner who's throwing the ball well over Adam Sandler's head is Drew Locke. So they said, congratulations. No wonder DK got a lot of money. He knows he isn't going to get any more balls accurately thrown to him. I don't know. Drew Locke, I still think, has potential, to be honest with you. But I just think he had not the best coaching staff in Denver.
Right.
You know, and they had changeover as well. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, we talked about this yesterday. And I'm going to go chronological order. Crazy clause in Kyler Murray's 5-year, $230 million contract with Arizona Cardinals was an independent study clause that he was going to have to study 4 hours a week outside on his own each week throughout the season all the way through the playoffs. Well, Kyler Murray, somebody leaked this information. And clearly, I don't know. Maybe Kyler Murray and his camp leaked it because they didn't like it, but I don't think they would have. But somebody within the organization, I think, obviously leaked it. So let's go step by step. Yesterday, Kyler Murray had a press conference with at the complex. There's training camp for the Cardinals. And, of course, you know, what's people want to talk about? Oh, what about this independent study clause that you got? It seems kind of odd. We don't know of any other quarterback that's got that in their contract, at least not publicly, we don't know. Here's what Kyler Murray had to say to those people that are making fun of him, basically saying, this guy doesn't have a work work ethic, and I thought he made some really good points.
It's almost, you know, to think that I can accomplish everything that I've accomplished in my career and not be a student of the game and not have that passion and not take this serious is almost, it's disrespectful, and it's almost a joke, you know. It's to me, it's I'm flattered, you know. I'm honestly flattered that y'all think that at my size I can go out there and not prepare for the game and not you know, not take it serious. It's disrespectful, I feel like, to my peers, to all the great athletes and great players that are in this league. This game's too hard. I refuse to let my work ethic, my preparation be in question. You know, I've put an incomprehensible amount of time and blood, sweat, tears, and work into what I do, whether it's football or baseball. You know, people can't even comprehend the amount of time that it takes to do two sports at a high level in college, you know, let alone do it, you know, be the first person to do it ever at my size. It's, like I said, this is, it's funny, but I, you know, to those of you out there that believe that I'd be standing here today in front of y'all without having a work ethic and without preparing, I'm honored that you think that, but it doesn't exist. It's not possible. It's not possible. So that's all I have on that.
So later in the day yesterday, the Arizona Cardinals removed the clause in Murray's contract that required him to watch film each week. The team announced that late last night. The move, which came after harsh criticism from the quarterback and others, was done after the team realized the distraction it created. They said, and I quote, "After seeing the distraction it created, we removed the addendum from the contract. It was clearly perceived in ways that were never intended. Our confidence in Kyler Murray is as high as it's ever been, and nothing demonstrates our belief in his ability to lead this team more than the commitment reflected in this contract." End of quote. Thoughts?
I don't buy that last part of it at all.
Either.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
and remember, there's a lot of animosity between the two camps trying to get a deal done in the offseason. I think somebody was sore at Kyler Murray and leaked that information on purpose.
But it ended up helping him in the long run to get the verbiage taken out. True. But I don't understand why either party would sign a contract like that with that verbiage in it if they didn't believe in it and agree to it, right?
Agree,
like, if I'm Kyler Murray, I'm like, yeah, I want to sign this contract, but why is this in here? Like, did the agent not read that part? Did he not read that part? But the Cardinals, like, you put that in there for a reason.
Yes.
Like, why
That's
are
right.
you retroactively taking that out? Like, I did not know that you could just take stuff out of contracts like that after you sign them.
I mean, both parties agree.
But it's just funny to me that you put this in there, but then a week later, it's not in the contract anymore. It's not part of what you were wanting him to do. And it's like, I just don't, personally, I don't know. That should never even come up. Like, that should never even be a part of a contract for a quarterback in the NFL.
Shouldn't have to be.
No. And so I don't, that's why I don't buy the second part of it, because there's something there that they felt like they couldn't trust from him watching film on his own that I don't know what it was, but you don't put that verbiage in a contract without there being a little bit of smoke there.
I totally agree with you. So Kyler Murray has the addendum stricken away from his contract. I agree with him. It's the thing is, it does create this. He doesn't work. He's lazy.
Yeah.
He didn't get to where he was by being lazy.
No, not at all.
No way.
And I also think the clause, you're burying the lead with the little clause in there. But the lead is, you gave him $46 million a year. You're saying he's going to be the second highest paid quarterback in the league. But wouldn't that show, I don't know, commitment and confidence in what you're doing? Like, if you were
why do they have to put the clause in there?
I don't know. But I don't. If you were that unsure, if you didn't think he was doing it, why even give him that offer? I just don't.
They apparently questioned something to put it in, and if he didn't do it, they could have probably voided the contract.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, though. You're giving a guy $46 million. You shouldn't have to worry about this part of it, right?
See, I think that's part of it. I think they wanted something that they could void
if he didn't do it.
A couple years down the road.
Which means there was concerns that he wouldn't do it.
But
what you think?
I don't know.
Why else would you put it in there? I don't know. Tampa Bay Buccaneers waiting a final word. Fear is their Pro Bowl center, Ryan Jensen, has suffered a season-ending knee injury. And that's bad news for Tom Brady, because that's one of his best offensive linemen that is already perhaps gone for the season. And then we were talking about clauses and contracts. How about this one to end the show? Zion Williamson's new max contract extension with the New Orleans Pelicans contains a weight clause. Williamson will have periodic weigh-ins throughout the course of the deal, and if his weight plus body fat percentage is above 295, he could lose money. So, for instance, if he is 288, but his body fat is 9%, he's at 297. That would it could possibly void parts of his contract. Despite some speculative discussions about Williamson's future with the Pelicans over the past few months, there was no drama when he became eligible to sign a new deal. The team and Williamson quickly agreed to a five-year rookie max extension worth at least $193 million. The new deal would kick in at the start of the 23-24 season, and the figure could rise to $231 million if Williamson makes All-NBA team or wins a major award next season. You have a problem with that clause in the contract?
I don't.
You're investing that much money. There should be. And trust me, by the way, these little clauses are popping up now suddenly that people are leaking out. You know, Williamson's weight clause, which he needs to agree to that. You need to. It's a problem. Kyler Murray's clause, which we can agree to disagree whether they needed to have that in there or not. That's really more the prerogative of the Cardinals. And Kyler Murray, as Dusty accurately pointed out, they both agreed to it, apparently. And then Kyler didn't like it. Why didn't he? And maybe he fought it for a while and then said, well, that's the only way I can get my 230. I'll agree to it. And then he's like, you know what? I'll go public with it, then I'll definitely get it out of it anyway. That might have been his master plan. He's a sharp kid. But trust me, there are all kinds of clauses in contracts. Yeah. There's clauses. Patrick Mahomes can't be dunking a basketball, all right? I'm sure that's in the contract after that one time when he was playing basketball. Like, oh, we don't want that. You know, there's clauses where you're not supposed to be jet skiing, water skiing. You're not doing any cliff diving. There's tons of clauses in all kinds of contracts. To where, listen, I'm an organization that's invested a ton of money in you. I'm not telling you how to live your life, but listen, if you go riding your motorcycle and you have a wreck and you get hurt, I've got protection in this contract that I void it. I'm not giving you all this money without you telling me you're not going to ride a motorcycle during this contract. Now, maybe a guy doesn't get away with it, but Fernando Tatis, they could have voided his contract. There was a clause in his contract, and he still did what he did, and he still hasn't played this year, I believe. But he's young enough to where they're like, okay, we're not going to – they know a lot of people would grab him if they voided that contract. But there are clauses in every single contract that you have in society for the most part, but particularly in sports, because there's just too much money wrapped up in these guys. So there's like, hey, if you like to go skydiving, you can't do it during the season, or you can't do it at all. And if you don't agree to that, we're not going to give you $230 million. Well, I guess I can give up skydiving until I retire.
Yeah, weight clause, I'm guessing, has been in a lot of people's contracts, right? Like, it just doesn't come out, right? Like,
probably in a lot of NFL contracts.
Yeah, and I've heard it before with some people, but I can't, off the top of my head, I can't name who it would be. But,
right. Yeah,
there's definitely been... There's everything. And yeah, immediately after they had the video of Patrick Mahomes playing basketball and doing all that fancy stuff, it was Brett Beach is like, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Yep.
We're gonna But they let Tyreek Hill do it.
Yes, they did.
Had a long video of him throwing down dunks and stuff last summer, I think it was.
Right. There's one more thing I pulled up here. Oh, yeah. So yesterday we were talking about teachers earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just came across this on Twitter. This is Rock Creek School District. I know it's not a local school, but it's Rock Creek. It's not a lot far
There's
away.
There's a local
us.
That's the AD of their middle school right now.
Who's that?
Sam Pauls.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I forgot about Sam because he always wears a headband. Now he doesn't wear one, and I don't know. And he sold out, and he married the K-State women's coach's daughter. I wonder how that goes. He's a KU fan. And his now father-in-law is the head coach of the K-State women's team. I'm sure that is a great Thanksgiving Day topic.
Or just during the game, he can't, even deep down, he's still Jayhawk, but he's, you know, when she's not looking, sneaks in a fist pump.
Oh, yeah. I still think Sam should have wore a headband when he got married. Anyway, the current job listing for Rock Creek, and you may say, well, why are you bringing this up? We were just talking about teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, teachers, you win the lottery, you know what, just go ahead, you're done. At Rock Creek, they have openings for a high school counselor, first grade teacher, second grade teacher, computer support specialist, high school assistant softball coach, middle school assistant girls basketball coach, middle school head boys basketball coach, district administrative assistant, custodian, food service assistant. They need bus drivers district-wide and substitute bus drivers. That is just one school district. That is not a big school district, by the way. It's a 3A school for the most part in Rock Creek. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 individual positions available, although there's more than 12 because they're wanting bus drivers, plural. So they have 12 openings that they just posted, and school is only a few weeks away. So we were talking about yesterday in Texas, there's like 800 teaching vacancies in like certain school districts down there. And there's a teacher shortage because people got fed up. Some after COVID, some of the older teachers retired, didn't know how to put up with it. Others, more and more being asked of teachers, and the pay isn't as good as maybe it should be. And there's, you know, more pressures, and then more parents being a problem with teachers. And then, of course, there's all this talk about more things that teachers need to do on top of everything. And some teachers paying for school supplies, which is ridiculous. None of these teachers should have to pay for school supplies taken care of. That's just my opinion. Of course, you know, if you have the money, you can budget for it. If you don't, you don't. So then the teacher's got to say, I got to have this to teach my class, and so forth and so on. I know there are poorer people than teachers. I'm not saying that there aren't. But this just gives you another example. That's just Rock Creek. That's just one. We've got a local school district advertising on our station. They're looking for a couple of people. And one in particular is a teacher, if I remember correctly. So there are openings. And if you've ever said, if you've ever been very critical of coaches, well, you know what? Here's your opportunity. You can be a softball coach. You can be a basketball coach at a lot of places around, even here. You know, you could be a substitute teacher. They've lowered the standards for that. You can be a bus driver. I mean, there's, you know, when, if anybody out there says, oh, I need a job, I can't find a job, you ain't looking. If you can't find a job, you apparently are walking around with your eyes closed, because there's jobs galore. They almost are falling out of trees. There's so many people that need good people to work. Everywhere we go, everywhere we talk, Jason, me, and Dusty lately, it's every single one, almost every single one. I'd say 9 out of every 10 we've talked to, yeah, we need more people. We need more staff to do what we need to do. We got the work. We're just behind because we don't have enough staff. Well, now you got it obviously seeping into education, and that's not a good thing. Not a good thing. So that's just one example. All right. Having said that, if you're a teacher and you win the lottery, feel free to do whatever you want to do on Monday. I know I will. Have a great day, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.